Let me ask you if you would to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. I won't be long this morning. We do have the privilege of observing the Lord's table on the day we celebrate His coming, knowing that He came to die. And so we celebrate them. Matthew 2, beginning in verse number 1. Before we read, let's ask the Lord's blessings on the reading of His Word and then the preaching of it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege that You have given us today to come and to celebrate and worship the love of God in His giving of His Son. And God, as we open Your Word and read from it, God, we pray that You would empower it, and God, that You would cause it to penetrate our hearts, to challenge us and to change us, that we may leave this place today saying, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord, because we have seen God afresh and anew. We have heard from Him. So may that be true for Your glory and to Your glory. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 2, beginning in verse 1, reading through verse 11. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And that's God's word recorded for us, and all God's people said. When we think about the wise men who came to see Christ, I think we are confronted with the way we are supposed to respond to Christmas. What we have recorded for us in the coming of the Magi is a response of men to the miracle of Christ that had been born a year or two previously. So the wise men are not at Bethlehem in the stable the night Christ is born. They come probably a year or two after. So they're responding to this coming of Christ. These men from the east, probably from Persia, had received communication from God that had been displayed to them in the sign of a star. Now, these men, being men who studied the movement of stars, noticed that there was a unique phenomenon in the sky. There was a new star that had appeared, a star that was not on any of their charts, a star that they had never seen before. And these men, with this unique phenomenon of this new star, along with their study of the Scriptures, determined that there was something worthy of further investigation. So they set off on a journey of more than 800 miles to come and see what has happened. And guided by this star in the sky, they make this journey in response to Christmas. So this morning, I want to share with you three things that make for a wise Christmas. Number one, let us notice the person for whom wise men seek. You know, sometimes I think we, with good intentions, get things wrong. Salvation is not the seeking of a better life. Salvation is not the seeking of the fixing of temporal problems. Salvation is not the seeking of avoidance of eternal damnation. Salvation is the seeking of a person. And as we notice here in the text, the personal pronouns that are used, we become convinced that these wise men have left their land and left their families and are determined to find not salvation, but a person in whom salvation is. In other words, they weren't content with seeing a star. They come and they ask, "Where is he? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." All of those personal pronouns. And sadly, in our culture, Christmas is so easily becoming about everything but him. But it is about him, isn't it? And we are in church this morning because in our hearts we believe Christmas is about him. It's not about the star. It is about the person the star guided these wise men to. So they seek him when no one else is seeking him. Right? These men come from afar. They're firemen. What Ken told me yesterday, they came from afar. They seek him when no one else seems to be seeking him. It seems like these wise men think, right, the birth of the Son of God would be a subject on the hearts and the lips of the people of Jerusalem. So they ask the question, "Where is he?" And they don't know. The political leaders and the spiritual leaders had all missed the coming of Christ, and they were completely unaware of his birth. And yet, as no one else seeks him, they do seek him. these wise men seek after a person, the King of the Jews, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And salvation is seeking and submitting to and receiving the person, Jesus Christ. Amen? So, a wise Christmas is a Christmas when we seek after Christ. Notice, secondly, the prophecy by which wise men are steered. I hadn't noticed this before, but I did as I went back through this text. It's amazing the Bible is never exhausted. You never can come to a text and say, I got it. There's always something new. So, it seems to me, reading the text, that the star in the sky that they had seen had guided them initially to a general geographic location. Because they come to Jerusalem. Christ is not in Jerusalem. Say amen. Christ is where? In Bethlehem. But here they come to Jerusalem. And they ask questions about where is the King of the Jews. And what does Herod do? Herod does what a lot of Baptists won't do. He consults with those who are familiar with the Word of God. He gets the chief priest and the scribes together and he asks, where is it that this Christ is to be born? What does the Word of God say about the coming of this Christ? And they tell him that God had recorded in His Word that Bethlehem would be the place where Christ would be born. And then Herod sends the wise men where? To Bethlehem. And there's a truth contained in that. The Bible says God's creation, the stars, the moon, the sun, the planets, God's creation does give us a general revelation of the existence of a powerful God. So that no man is without excuse, because all men can see creation and know there is a God that should be sought. But creation cannot give us the specific knowledge of the one person in which salvation is found. So, creation gives a general revelation and can get us in a general vicinity, but it can't get us to Christ. It is specific revelation that is only found in the Scriptures that gets us to Christ. And to get these wise men to the specific place where Jesus was, they were dependent upon the Word of God. And once they received this Bethlehem prophecy from the Word of God, the Bible says here, the star once again appears and stood over where the young child was, and they rejoice with exceeding joy. And it is true that culture or tradition should not drive us in how we are to observe Christmas. The Word is. And if the Word does not guide us, we will be far off from finding Christ. Number three, the purpose for which wise men sacrifice. Now, to be honest with you, as I've gotten older, I don't want to drive in a car 800 miles, much less walk. Can I hear an amen? I would probably complain about flying 800 miles. But here, these men come walking in on camel, 800 miles, leaving their family on the whim of only sighting a new star and a belief that that star signaled the coming of the Messiah. So the question I have is, why did these wise men sacrifice so much to come to seek Christ? And the answer in the text is that they came to see Him, but not only to see Him, but they came to worship Him. And what I would like to nail home at this point is the only sensible, realistic response to the coming of Christ at Christmas is that we fall down and worship Him. There is no other realistic response. I think it would be interesting to see these learned men, these men of great knowledge and abilities, falling down on their faces and worshiping a child that is younger than 2 years of age. It's remarkable. But the text says they fell down and they worshiped Him. Now please notice here, it doesn't say they fell down and worshiped them. There are two there that day, right? Jesus and Mary. They don't fall down and worship them. They fall down and worship Him. They don't worship Mary. They worship Christ. In fact, I would say this. Mary has to worship Christ as her Lord and Savior as well. Because Jesus is the only mediator between God. So when we see Jesus, or when we come and celebrate Christ and His coming, we don't stand and applaud. We fall down in humility and we worship. Understanding that no matter what form He has taken on, even the form of a child, that He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and He is the absolute authority over all things. And that He is our Savior. I read about a sculpture that some Scandinavian person had made of Christ. And what I found fascinating about the sculpture is that it was made in such a way that the only way that you could truly look into the face of Christ on this sculpture is if you kneeled down on your knees and had to look up. And I'm here to tell you that's the only way to look at Christ. On our knees. Worshiping Him. Of course, we see they brought Him gifts. Gifts fit for a king, a priest, and a prophet. And please notice here, their gifts were for Him. They brought Mary no gifts. The gifts were for Him. And the giving of these gifts was part of their worship of Him. Wasn't anything symbolic here. Except what the gifts stood for. The gifts were a part of their worship of Him. And they were the treasures of the earth. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Those things don't mean a whole lot to us now except for the gold. But they were extravagant gifts. They were treasures of earthly men. And they exchanged these treasures of earth for having the treasure of Him. And they seem to have left that day with their hands empty, but their hearts full of the joy of their Savior. And then I wrote this down. I hope you'll get this. They left their country, traveled 800 miles to see and worship the Savior. And they leave that day knowing that God loves them far more than they could ever love God. And I want you to leave today knowing that God loves you far more than you can ever love Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.